Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at you live and kicking. Every Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
You go, girl.
And you get a car. How about that? And we love you for joining
Everyone
us.
Everyone gets a car.
Well, we're
not Oprah.
Baby doll, we don't got that budget.
We're not Oprah.
Everybody gets a matchbook.
Here you go.
It's all love, baby. It's all love. And we thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, 1 o'clock. And we're hearing some thunder in the background, and that's always I always think it's a nice backdrop.
I just love a nice
thunder. Summer storm. Mm-hmm. And thank you for joining us today's show. Wait. Where are my manners? Elite, where are my manners? Let me introduce.
I need an introduction.
I know you can't work with that one. Let me introduce. It's really largely a two-person play, but we certainly have our guests on today with us. There we go. All right.
Who's on?
Elite Ziegelman is she?
Yeah.
Lori Towers is me. And. Collectively, we are She's Raising the Bar.
Yay!
And we are a show that is no.
You're gonna explain the whole
thing.
This is why
we are poison for each other, because you don't give me a chance to say.
Because I know the whole
you
script
don't. You know
already.
Something you don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
You don't know
go
what
ahead.
I was gonna say. I was gonna say this is a show that embraces the strengths of women.
Yes.
And in embracing the strength that we feel today, and it's unfortunately, it seems like it's a very wobbly walk at this point with where we are in a political climate, but in embracing the strengths we have today, we have to reflect back on the women that did the heavy pushing for all of us years ago. And that's
why don't you give us an example of some of them?
Well, this is what I was trying to do, Elite Ziegelman, before you
thought
I was going in the wrong direction. I was actually going the right direction.
Put your glasses on.
I'm putting my glasses,
put your glasses on.
And I'm going to read the text. Actually,
yes.
Everything started, and I was saying to you before the show, we're going to, do like some sort of live broadcast in Seneca Falls in November, because that is going to mark the 100th anniversary.
Can we vote out there? But that's not our district, though.
It's not, but the thing is, it's that's where it all happened as far as 100 years of women having the right
to
vote.
Just 100?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird because when you follow the paper trail of it, it seems like it would have been longer.
I thought it would be maybe like 1,000 years.
Yeah, and it was held in Seneca Falls, which is not far from where we were when we were in the town that I can't pronounce. Say it for me, don't.
Right.
Binghamton? I said it. Well, there you go.
Well, you
Binghamton,
go.
New York. New York. Thank you. I really try not to stumble over my syllables, but sometimes it happens. But that's a little south of where we were. And this is all held in Seneca Falls, New York. And actually, it was a convention that spanned over 2 days. It was July 19th to July 20th, 1848.
Wow.
And, yeah, and what this did was...
Was that after World War II?
Yeah. No, yeah. Before.
Before?
It was certainly before. It was certainly before. And this was basically getting human rights into circulation, but more importantly, it was women's rights to vote. We don't forget, you know, and this has always been something that's been argumented over the years, and rightfully so. White women certainly had the right to vote before non-whites.
Yes, of course.
And that's always been the case. But this movement was really championed by Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who, along with her partnership with, Susan B. Anthony, they actually were the main pushers
mm-hmm.
in women's rights and a woman's right to have property without the signing of her spouse. And women who were able to come into a marriage, if you, in those days, if you had $1,000, which was fairly
a lot of money,
you can leave the marriage with that $1,000. And it would not be the property of your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we forget the
until a lawyer came in and said that's half of his.
No, this is why the bills were passed. Lawyers couldn't do that. And Elizabeth Cady Stanton was actually married to a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
so she knew the ins and outs of what would benefit our cause as opposed to. I mean, don't forget the privilege of marriage was pretty much leaning towards the men. Women were the misses. And, you
right.
know, when women always ask me, well, how come, you know, you're not Mrs. John Pietaro? Well, because Mrs. means you belong to Mr.
Yeah, well,
and
they don't
that,
know Lori Towers.
Well, no, but the thing is, you know what, I've never had a problem with women who do that.
No,
a lot of women
of course
do that,
not.
And it's absolutely
that's
fine.
That's your own prerogative.
But it wasn't who I was.
Right.
And so I have to be honest. But this is where this 2-day convention, and I'm not even going to go into the layers of things that had to be addressed to give women the right to vote.
Yeah.
And
there has to be a lot of layers to
there's at least, I'm not even going to read, it's at least 3 hours worth of it. And a book that's actually, I think, a wonderful If Not For Ourselves Alone, and it actually it gives a framework and follows the lives of Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony, and it's just a wonderful partnership that these two women had, and for many years, and they were so instrumental in taking all the punches.
Mm-hmm.
And stepping in front of the bus for so many different theories that women wanted, but it was just, you know, it was pipe dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that we take for granted now were just completely impossible way back when. So that's what we're going
to
be.
We have to thank them then.
That's, you know, and I always say we thank the women, and it's always part of our
mm-hmm.
our. I think it's always part of our video. I always have that one thing that says,
yeah,
I thank the women that
help
have come.
Us, you know,
yeah.
Help us vote for who.
And that's exactly
who
right.
Who become the women that we are today.
Yeah, and we have to look back and say, wow.
Yeah, thank you.
It wasn't always this easy. I mean, in our lifetime, and you and I were discussing this before, American Express, we at one point we could not sign if you wanted to get a card on your own. Your husband had to sign, and this was within our lifetime.
Right.
Obviously, we weren't of capable
age. You're telling
me
that women had no credit then?
No, no. This is what I'm saying. Diners Club, the same thing. The two major, and it was Diners Club and Annex back
yeah.
in the 60s and the 50s, and we had absolutely no rights to buy property without the signature of a husband. And even if we were liquid, even if we had the money, we had probably gotten it by ill-gotten gains, and we were looked at as suspect. And it still needed the male signature to get whatever we wanted in motion. So now when we get a credit card, see, in our lifetime, I remember my first credit card, I think, was Amex, and I was 20. And you forget, as long as you had, you know, you seemed like you were a worthy a client, you got it. But if you were 20 in 1962 and already married and probably had two kids by then, that's the way it was, you didn't have the privilege of getting that without your husband's signature. So this is what we're talking about today. And today's guests will be Winter Gabriel, Patricia Martin, and Nancy Donahue. And when Nancy comes on, we had her on with, and she's going to be on with us a little later than the other two. We had her on with Kim Alexis and Kelly Amberg, and yes. We were having a discussion on Little Miss America, and mm-hmm. we have followed the whole paper trail back to, are we doing right by our daughters by having our daughters in beauty pageants and so on and so forth, and I think that's something we had a great show with them.
Yes.
And we went off in several different directions, and we didn't tie that up. So when she comes back on, I think I wanna discuss that with her. But she will come on with us, I think, a few minutes later. Then the other two that I think are on now. So let's bring them aboard.
All right,
let's
I will
super
well. Winter.
I think it's Winter.
Hello.
Darling,
how are you?
I'm gonna bring on Patty.
Hi there.
Hello.
Patricia Martin.
Welcome.
Gabriel. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We are wonderful.
Fabulous.
We were just having a dialogue on how easy it was in 1962 when Elite and I were born not to be able to get a credit card without our husband's signature. And going back to women's right to vote, and you know, we're going to go up to Seneca Falls and have a live show in November.
Ooh.
Because that's going to be the anniversary of it. But just looking back and thinking about how easy it was not to have the things that come so easily for us now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was, you know, doing some research. And actually, Susan B. Anthony was arrested for voting
yes.
in the presidential election
That's
of
right.
1872. I mean, she refused to pay her penalty. She
That's
wasn't
right.
jailed, but she was talking about, you know, this is a quote, you've trampled underfoot every vital principle of our government, my natural rights, my civil rights, my political rights, my judicial rights, are all alike ignored.
Yeah.
And I shall never pay a dollar of your unjust penalty. So bravo, you know.
Definitely.
And you know,
bravo to her.
We look at things like this, and civil disobedience is something that you pay a penalty and you're usually out in a few hours. But in those days, it was absolutely unheard of, and we forget the amount of strength that it took to say anything like that.
Yeah.
And not worry about how this was going to impact on the rest of your life, because it very easily could have.
I think if you believe in something so die-hardly
yeah.
that, you know, you shouldn't pay a penalty.
You
shouldn't. You shouldn't do anything.
You shouldn't, but you
because
did.
Because what you do is you're just going, you know, backwards on what you believe in.
But see, we could say that sitting here with the privileges we have now, but in a very, very, you know, undetermined environment that these women lived in then, anything could have happened.
Yeah.
And anything could have sabotaged your life.
So
luck.
She paid the penalty at the end?
Patty, what was the outcome of that?
She never paid a penalty,
yeah.
and they did
you
not
think?
Jail her. So it just kind of looked the other, they just kind of looked the other way. All right,
yeah.
you voted, we slapped you on the wrist, we're not going to pursue it any
Perfect.
Further. But she, you know, she was willing to not pay, not knowing that they were going to kind of cease and desist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And luckily, I mean, seriously, lucky, because it, in those days it was an absolute crapshoot
yeah.
that
yep.
something wouldn't have happened.
True.
You know?
Right. And then you were talking about the Women's Property Acts,
yeah.
which went back to 1848.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it giving women the right to retain property they brought into the marriage as well as property they acquired during the marriage. And another big thing is that creditors couldn't seize
That's
the
right.
wife's property
the
to pay a husband's debt. So that was another
right.
another biggie, as you mentioned. And so, you know, bravo for that, too.
And think about this. All of these many layers happened in 2 days.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Now, think about this. And again, we're not going to really start throwing stones now because it's totally going to be a totally different show. But think about the reform that happened in 2 days that we can't get moving in like weeks in Washington now. These women assembled for 2 days, and the amount of movement forward they did is astronomical.
Oh, yeah. But they were very, very organized in their convention offerings as well. They had different seminars and workshops. I mean, they really mobilized very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever read the book, Patty?
No, I wrote it down. I hadn't heard of it. I'm going to have to check it out.
You know, the next time I see you, I'm gonna hand it over to you. It is
great.
It is so motivating, and it humbles you, because when you think of the women that have done all of this, and some of them with limited education, it's just an amazing experience. It makes you want to do more, and it makes you question why you're not doing more.
Right. And the fact that individuals can make a difference. I think sometimes there's a tendency, especially in today's society, that, like, you know, well, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, even, you know, despite the Women's March, which was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But I think in general there's a philosophy of, well, I can't do anything about it. It's bigger than I am, and, you know, I can't fight it. I mean, and even the headlines, there's still, you know, stuff going on in terms of equal pay and, you know, sexual harassment, all these women coming forward, you know, not just Bill Cosby, but corporations like Uber and, you know, Fox News and stuff. I mean, there's like, that's got to be just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's ever going to ever change. That's,
you know,
the problem.
I don't know.
Well, it may never change, the fact that it happens, but the women wanting to come, being willing to, and brazenly coming forward instead of sweeping it, you know, kind of ignoring it or thinking
it under the rug, but it's always going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to think, now, I'm the ultimate optimist. In our lifetime, I don't think we're going to see the gradients of change that we want it to be. But I think in either our grandchildren or our children's lifetime, I think there's going to be more of a gender symmetry. I think there has to be.
I would hope so, yeah.
Just based on their acceptance of lifestyle, culture, I think there has to be.
Even sexual identity these days, which seems
right.
to be, you know, it's a little bit,
well,
it happens at
now,
quite
yeah.
a young age, and it may
yeah.
be a little immature, but the fact of the matter is that there is a dialogue about it and a willingness to kind of explore or declare other than pink for girls and blue for boys and dolls for girls and trucks for boys.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I'm definitely actually seeing a lot of it's interesting you just brought that up, because I have a little girl and I signed up for the recreation camp in my town. And I didn't understand what all the GB meant for the different things that you could pick. And it meant girl or boy. So if you had a girl, she couldn't pick the boy stuff.
Oh, that's terrible.
Right. But I guess they just were so used to, well, the girls wanted to make beads and the boys wanted to do the basketball clinic. So my daughter came in and she just is really she's just not girly at all. In fact, she really pushes the boundaries. This is completely on her own. I mean, James and I have never influenced her one way or the other.
Good.
But she wears boys' clothing. It's
mm-hmm.
really kind of off the – it's especially for the town that I live in. It's a little bit extreme for what you see. But she picks boys' clothes, boys' sneakers, boys' bathing suits.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to do the boys' activities. She hangs, you know, her best friends are boys. She really doesn't even have any girl friends. And, I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm just letting her be who she is, and I'm watching it all unfold. But she had to, I had to come to the camp and explain to them that she wanted to do the boy activities and that she wanted to be in the boys' group. And they did not fight me. It was just so unusual for them. I was grateful that they were open to it. But I cannot, it's I don't think that it would have maybe been an option a while back. But I think it's still something that hopefully, I don't think it needs to be boy girl. You know, as simple as dolls don't have to be for girls and trucks don't have to be for boys.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same token, and this is kind of a you know, a controversial topic, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've had people throw the gender identity at me regarding my daughter. And it's so disarming because I'm like, I don't think that this is, you know, I don't think that you have to jump to the conclusion that someone is transgender simply because
mm-hmm.
she relates to boy things and that she wants to be with the boys. And she, this little, like, four-year-old would fight people to, well, I don't want to use the girls' restroom. Little things like that.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit like, wow, we don't know where this is coming from. But, you know, for us, it was like she just wanted to do what her friends were doing. And
So
it's an interesting journey for me. I think it's a decent time for it to be happening. At the same time, it's a journey.
It's always going to be a journey until she's old enough to do it on her own.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, not to go into different topics, but one thing I wanted to say, Lori, is when I got married on the topic, I did not take my husband's name.
Right,
and it wasn't because I wanted to be, like, I don't label myself a feminist, although I don't think of it one way or the other, except that, you know, I like to be a strong woman with ideas and my own decisions. But it was never, I'm happy that I had that option.
Mm-hmm.
It never occurred to me that I couldn't have that, my name, my last name on a marriage certificate, or I didn't have to take my husband's last name. And I knew that I had picked the right partner because I remember, so his name is James Ellen Gold and my name, Winter Gabriel. And I remember him saying, oh, well, maybe I'll take your last name because James Gabriel sounds
really cool.
Well,
you got a perfect name. You got a perfect name.
I said, no, I think that's disrespectful to your family, but, I don't think you need to. Like, keep your name, I'll keep my name. And when the kids go to school, they can call me Mrs. Ellen Gold, they can call me Miss Gabriel.
Yeah.
I don't care what they call me, but for my career, I kept my name. So I'm glad that I was able to do that, and it made me think of you.
Well, I'm just saying, you know,
I
have friends that have kept their name and taken their husband's name, and that's fine.
Right.
I would never say,
absolutely.
I have an opinion on it, but for me, it made perfect sense because, I mean, just to become part of somebody's life and be part of somebody's family, you don't have to walk away from your own identity.
No,
and
you
that's
don't.
What I've always said.
Well, I had a very odd experience. I got married very, very young. After my mom died, I was married within a year, and I hadn't even turned 21 for a year. So obviously it was not the brightest decision I ever made. But that, be that as it may, it was. And I had a little bit of equity built into the name, which I still have, Martin. I had a little bit of equity built into it because by then I had been freelancing and writing and so forth. But when I moved upstate New York from Fairfield County, I thought it was a good opportunity for me to go back to my maiden name, which was Mason. So I went to and this was in, gosh, how long ago is this? This was about at least 25 years ago. Not that long ago in the scheme of history, but a while ago. And I went to the county courthouse to do the paperwork to go back to revert to Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for over half a day. I was sent from department to department to department, upstairs, downstairs, but, you know, and it was like I was a hot potato, and nobody knew what to do, and it's like, what, nobody's ever had this request before? And by the time the last department referred me back to where I started in the first department, I'm like, I threw up my hands and I went, that's it. It's not that big a deal. It's an M name. It ends with an N. There's a couple of different letters. I'll keep it. But that was crazy. It's like nobody ever wanted to revert to their maiden name after divorce, which I thought, at least in that area.
Oh, I have a girlfriend that actually did. I'm not sure if she did it legally yet, so I wonder how her experience was. But she divorced and she definitely didn't want anything to do with his last name. So I'm going to have to ask her because she goes by her maiden name now.
And, well, legally, you know, it's like it's a hassle because there's your Social Security card.
Yes.
There's your
yes.
bank.
Everything
there's
has
your
to
phone.
Change.
I mean, there's
that.
A whole bunch of paper.
Everything.
You know, there's your license. It's a job.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
So whether
yeah,
it's, you know, what's legal, what's not, you can go socially by one name, but all of your other,
right.
you know, all of your official documents have to be legal.
Yeah.
As far as what name you go by.
Yeah, it's very...
My mom kept her name. I mean, no, my mom kept my dad's name and they're divorced. So I wonder if it's that reason. And you know, I never even thought about it, to be honest.
My sister did too. My sister divorced her ex-husband and she kept her last name. Because, again, our maiden name was horrible.
Yeah.
So...
well, you know,
it's a new improved name. You keep it.
That's an option. I mean, you look, again, it's whatever you feel good about doing. And, you know, you
yeah.
have to live with it the rest of your life, so it's
yeah.
just, you know, whatever decision you make, it's fine. But my principles were just that, and I just could never understand not keeping my own name.
Hey, because you all got cool names, that's
cool
why.
Names.
Yeah, cool
it's
names.
True. We got
or
cool
maybe
names.
We're,
yeah.
some of us are frightened of, like, you suggested, of, like, losing our identity or... Just because we're marrying someone doesn't mean that we want to just kind of give up who we were before that, right? And then
yeah.
that goes into being a wife, being a mother. I think that we've come so far. And I, from what I read, Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth, they were not alive when actually, is that true that women actually, when it finally came
right.
to fruition that we got our rights, they never actually witnessed it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't.
So we're so grateful to them, and I hope that somehow out there, I mean,
yeah.
what an amazing thing. They paved the road, but they never really saw
right.
it happen.
Yeah, they didn't see the outcome of it.
But
you
if
know,
you, and if you, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, sometimes you do things, and you know that you're doing it for the better good, and you know that in your lifetime you might not be able to see it, but you're a cog in the wheel of it, and that's really
yes.
what matters.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, that's the same thing as being a mother and just raising a daughter.
Right.
I mean, hope to be around, but I'm not going to be around to the bitter end. And I think it's the same concept. You're just
yeah.
trying to give the building blocks to let this female have a journey full of, you know, confidence and
right.
and awareness.
You set things
and joy.
In motion and hope the baton
yeah.
gets picked up, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly,
yeah.
and know that you did the best job. But
you know what's funny is
women.
That my daughter is more stronger feminist than I am,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
she's brought up in this age of
right.
you know feminine, you know everything
yeah, yeah,
that's going
course.
On with
of
the
course.
Election. Because she's 21, so she's
sure.
a very strong feminist, and she knows she's just always sticking up for the rights of women,
yeah.
the women,
mm-hmm.
and the gay rights and the transgender.
Sure.
She's got such a voice for all these issues. Which I would never do. I'm very proud of her in that way, because it's just not me. But that's her personality.
But it is you.
It is me. But this is really basically the only platform I really, you know,
but
express
that's
it.
Enough. But
no, it
that's
is.
Enough.
It is. But
yeah,
she'll
yeah.
do it, you know, all the time. And,
yeah.
and if you say something bad about anybody, she will defend it to. She's red in the face.
But you know what?
And she's an artist. I have to say, just to interject, and I
yes.
think that's
yes.
part of her nature too.
Yes, definitely. And she's with, you know, every single different cult, you know,
exactly.
everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
See, that's the beauty
right.
of it. It's everybody.
And that's why she'll
that's
always defend them.
And but you know what? In fairness to you.
But you know what's funny? Remember years ago right. when I just first started getting friendly with you,
mm-hmm.
I told you that her 14th birthday, she had every single...
Right, I remember you telling me that.
It was like the United Nations was
and
at the table.
Yeah.
Didn't matter if you were black, Puerto
mm-hmm.
Rican, you know, Chinese,
matter.
Everybody
exactly
was
right.
at her table. She was always like that.
And that's,
always.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And, you know,
right.
in fairness to you, we were raised in a very confined
yeah, no,
environment.
My mother was very
60s,
racist.
Well, yeah, but the 60s was just a matter of, it wasn't like... Your daughter's age, it's become part of their breathing.
Right.
They
yes.
this is what they embrace. And I've always said, that generation, I always think, there's a tendency to be a little lazy, a little pampered.
Right,
but
they're going to change the world
and accept them. They're humanitarians, and yes, what we don't get in economy,
mm-hmm.
we're going to get in civil rights.
Acceptance.
So
right.
I
think we'll find
agree.
Some peace, you know.
But yeah, that's how you know. I think that's the natural nature of people, human beings, because prejudices don't evolve until later. I mean, you put a bunch of toddlers together, and it's one for all. And they're kind of
that's
taught
a good point.
That.
They don't
yeah.
know what color you are. They don't know anything until you're taught it. You have to be.
But they don't
taught
judge
prejudice.
It. They might see differences, but it's not a big deal. It's
right.
just, you know, accepted.
Right.
It's yeah.
Exactly.
One and of my favorite pieces of music, my favorite song of all time, and Elite, you know this, from South Pacific. You have to be carefully taught, and
right.
is exactly to hate all the people your relatives hate. You have to be carefully taught, and it is just because, I mean, you think about South Pacific, it was, when people think, oh, it was a wonderful musical, no, it had such
yeah.
a deep message about racism, about classism. It had everything there, and that one song is, I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful song anyway.
Right.
But if you listen to the lyrics, it's all about how we operate at the fingertips of our parents. And unless racism goes around the table, unless sexism goes around the table, we don't know from it.
No, we don't.
We don't.
We don't.
Toddlers
and the dialogue, you know, the dialogue is
very important.
Also, I think, happening more outwardly, like
yeah.
as, you know, Elite pointed out about her daughter having
yeah.
mm-hmm. Friends of you know, every color, every
Everything.
Sexual orientation.
Yeah.
I recently was at a department store, and I was having there was somebody I knew there, and we were having a conversation. We happened to be talking about RuPaul
mm-hmm.
and how much I admire RuPaul
right.
and have a RuPaul doll.
I know.
Oh, the sales girl behind the counter, this young woman, chirped up, and she's like, oh, my God, I love RuPaul. And this led to, I mean, we're in line, like, checking out, and she's having a conversation about how, she's pansexual, which is,
What's
you know,
pansexual?
Here's this, like, young woman. She was probably maybe 20. So the thing is that it's out there. They're discussing it, and they're sharing it. I mean, the fact that we have this lively little bizarre discussion
yeah.
I thought was great.
It is. Yeah.
I think it's almost trendy. I think that's why
yep. Yep.
Your daughter being 21 and really, I think it's almost trendy right now to accept the differences and to embrace, and it's really being brought forth by as much as it's given, as much as there's a side of the country that is against, there's this whole huge side that's for the diversity and
mm-hmm.
people of transgender and different
yeah.
sexuality and different races. So it's certainly the strongest time that I can remember being on this earth where I feel it's almost trendy now to be like, hey, be who you are, you
yeah.
know, free
yeah.
love. And I feel they're very exposed to it and accepting, and hopefully that can, help to bring
yeah.
light, no matter, you can't expect everyone to agree, but hopefully it will be a better journey for us moving forward and for people that are,
so.
You know, outside of the box, so to speak.
Well, you know, if you ask my daughter, you know, what's your sexual preference,
mm-hmm.
she'll
mm-hmm.
tell me I'm fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on who I fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
Sexuality is very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever you love,
yeah.
you fall in love with. It doesn't matter. Is it a man? Is it a woman?
But you love
is
the
it
essence
a trans,
of a person.
It's fluid. Sexuality is fluid.
Gender.
And that is
yeah.
the new word they use now.
Yeah. And
that
she wrote
that
whole blog about
that.
That's,
I
remember.
I'm impressed
yeah.
with
that. That was
yeah.
one of the last ones she wrote.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Wow.
And it's a beautiful thing. But like I said, it's a wonderful philosophy. That still has to be embraced
and
become mechanical. See,
yeah,
that's the whole thing. It can't
more.
Just be a philosophy. We have to make it into a way.
Right.
But I don't think we
right.
can. I think they can.
Well, they can. But you know what? The thing is, they can do it, but they have to have support from their elders. Everybody
yeah,
needs
yeah, no. You know, I think it just has to grow into another generation from them.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing
Nancy's
is,
on. I'm going to bring her on.
Bring Nancy on. Nancy, girl, are you there? Are you welcome?
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm so sorry I'm late.
Nancy,
yeah.
Nancy, girl.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi,
say
everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Nancy,
hello,
I don't think you know Winter. Winter, Nancy. Nancy Winter.
Hey, Nancy.
Nice to meet you all. And Patty, I think we were on before, weren't we, together?
Yes, we were. Nice to hear your voice again. And live.
Yeah,
I listened
too.
To you on record.
Oh, so I'm sorry to come on late. I'll let you guys continue on, and I'll...
Did you hear what we were speaking of?
No, I just jumped on right now.
Okay, so you fill her in more.
You know what I think, what I want, because I think that you, Nancy and I even discussed... The last topic that we had when Nancy was on, I think we still had a little bit of meat on the bone as far as when we were saying that as far as beauty pageants and Little Miss America and Toddlers and Tears, how do we make it better for our daughters? And Winter and Patty, I know you probably listened to the show.
Yes, I did.
We went into, we had the theme of Little Miss America and so on and so forth, and we're just trying to figure out a way to... Without making it formulaic, how do we make the environment less sexual, less about appearance, less about sexual appreciation for our daughters?
Yeah.
How do we do that when there are still shows that will platform a woman's beauty or, God forbid, a young woman's beauty? And I'm talking about women, young ladies under the age of two digits.
Oh, and Toddlers and Tiaras is just disgusting concept.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a long discussion about that. I'm going to jump in just for a second because this is kind of just a pet peeve of mine. I don't know, ladies, I get invited to Brian Bantry previews of movies, and I just saw the movie Hashtag Girl Goes West, which feeds into this discussion, actually, because it's a pet peeve of mine, this Instagram and taking your own picture and how pretty you are. And I think that is one of the biggest problems that is feeding into our culture. All these women and kids and girls and my nieces, and they all are constantly with these selfies and then improving.
Yeah.
And it's going to be about education, but that's just so hard in the world we're living in today with all this self-promotion. It's really difficult.
Well,
it's
goes back
difficult.
To what we always blame is social media. Social media really is the breaking point of everybody right now, especially the younger generation.
But, see, you know, the problem with selfies that I see, you know, it's not just about you're taking a selfie about you and your friends at the planetarium. It's that whole selfie pout. You know, your cleavage is out. You're looking at the camera. What is it called? Fishing?
The fish look.
The fish look. That's the problem.
Well, it's kind of become I post, therefore I am, you know.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and it's keeping up. And there's a lot of pressure, you know, as you know, like in the media. Because a lot of the a lot of people become celebrities or enhance their celebrity status simply by putting themselves out there on a constant, ridiculous basis.
Yeah.
Well, that's how the reality TV stars started. I mean, that whole thing was just, it just started and became such a huge movement. And that really was just from being outrageous of a personality or being super good looking or just... Mm-hmm. behaving in a manner that really isn't even what anybody has ever aspired to be like, and they just
but
it, famous
and it requires it. Two factions, I think. There's the there's the exhibitionism, self-promotion, but then there's also the voyeurism, people who are like, you know, feed into it. So it's sort of like this very odd symbiotic thing.
You know, going with the pageants and how to deal with looks being such a huge influence to girls, I came from such a family, and I hate to say this, hopefully he doesn't listen, he doesn't get offended, but my dad was like just so about, my pretty daughters, pretty daughters, pretty daughters, most beautiful girl, especially to my sister. I have gone so far the opposite way with my own daughter, because I learned if I only feel validated for what I look like, what happens if I don't feel pretty one day, or if all of a sudden I'm not, if I look yucky because I have a blemish? Am I unlovable? Or am I not worthy? Or what about the things you mean it's I'm not good enough with my intelligence or my talents? It's just my looks? So I really feel like at least from the home environment for these youngsters, those of us that are aware of it, you don't, the first thing out of your mouth doesn't have to be my pretty little girl or you're so beautiful. If we focus on what they're doing and putting in best efforts and focusing on other things, of course they're going to be exposed to it with social media and movie stars and TV personalities, etc. But if we give them a foundation of confidence from stuff that has nothing to do with that, we're going to give them a good start.
So I want to just do an opposite story. My mother never, because I don't know if you guys know, I modeled for a long time, but my mother did the opposite. My mother did the opposite. She never, ever, ever told us we were pretty, ever. Neither my mother nor my father. I'm one of 11. I don't know if you girls know, but neither, they never said anything. They only talked about education, this, that, giving back and stuff like that. And so it's very interesting that, that happened to
Did it bother me?
I had no idea. I had no idea. So what? It wouldn't bother me because how would I know otherwise? And of course,
that's my point. I think it's great.
No, I think it's great. And I didn't even know that I was pretty until I got this. And then even when I got discovered as a model, I still didn't understand it. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I was never told them.
Yeah.
But
they never told you
were
pretty and stuff like that.
No, and I think
it was never your identity.
Right. It was never my identity. And I remember my mother was very strict. And, you know, when I came to New York to do it, you know, the interview for Madame Sauce, she goes, look, if this doesn't work, this doesn't work. And then you come home and do that.
Yeah.
So
I
have to agree that it's not important. You know, I think parents these days are feeding into their kids saying how cute and beautiful and good they are and da 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 all this stuff and dismissing education and giving back and all this other thing.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, you know, Nancy, let me ask you this. Now, your niece. I'm sure you have said, are your nieces showing any signs of, I mean, you mentioned the taking the selfies. And how are they within all that? Are they taking the selfies in that way? Do you see that?
Yeah, you know, I have a couple that just constantly do it. And it's just, and I even told.
They're saying.
I know, but I hate it.
I know, but they're like 20-something, and they're you know, they're pretty kids. But it's like, you have to stop. I said, stop with the freaking phone.
Yeah.
You know, stop it.
They
it's
live on their phone. They're living on their phone. They live on the phone. They can't miss a thing.
Because they learn what I think as a teacher, as a mother, as someone who's around young adults and children, I think we have to, I'm speaking about me, but all of us in some capacity are going to be influences. We have to lead by example, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite because I like my phone. I miss the selfie generation of fish face. That's the first time I've heard of that one. That kind of gave me a giggle, but so that's not my thing. Right, because that wasn't my thing. But I do love my phone. I do love my social media for promotion and for connection.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think if we can still be good role models as to how we're portraying ourselves, when we're using it, when we're not, I guess there needs to be the balance because it is a part of our society right now. But we can help to be a good role model by our actions too. And I'm saying that for myself because I'm always in check. And I know I don't even have to tell my daughter. My daughter doesn't seem to be aware of looks, so it's bizarre. But my son is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even talk about his looks, but guess what? He sees that I care about my looks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll notice he'll criticize himself. Not because I'm criticizing myself necessarily, because he's almost waiting to hear my response because he sees that I tend to put an emphasis on my appearance. And I'm not afraid to say that. It just checks me in. I'm like, oh, baby, don't be silly, you know. But I'm like, okay, learn.
Yeah. I don't think
there's a bit of a backlash.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of a
connection. You know what's happening? We're having a call waiting issue here.
Yeah,
that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it all has to do with home-based also, because 50% is where you're coming and growing up from, but 50% also has to do with cultural and who you hang out with and what you see every day. Because my parents never, you know, they complimented when I got to compliment them, when I did something good. They never said I was beautiful, pretty. They did when I got dressed up and went out. But it was all, it's culture.
But I think it's a nice thing.
Of course it is, but it's not all about the parents. It really isn't. I mean, we're the foundation of them, but when they go out, they really structure their own self.
But you know something, the expression, it takes a village, I remember.
Yes,
no,
it definitely takes a village.
And I think that it's any adult figure, because I remember once, my God, my friend's daughter probably was maybe 15 at the time, and they'd spent the night at my house, and her friend stayed over, and they wanted to walk around and see the neighborhood, but this is when I was living upstate. So we're all sitting at the table. Her mother was there, and blah, blah. And she's leaving my house, and she's got her cleavage sticking out.
Yeah.
And at first, I waited. I'm looking around the table. Her mother's not doing anything, and I waited and waited. Then I got up, and I zipped her up, and I said, "That's how you leave my house."
Well,
now, when she got out, I'm sure she unzipped, but she got the message
and
from
I'm
me.
And I'm sure you dressed up, you know, all in suit and tie before you went out, and your mother and you took it off.
But, of course.
Right.
But the thing is, I waited for her mother. Then I said, you know something, it's
not
okay with me.
That's why she did it. That's
why
she's
okay with me. So
exactly.
She got the message from another adult figure.
But she sees that on the outside.
I know.
That's where they absorb what they want to be.
But that's why, as adults, we have to say, you know, not in an embarrassing way.
You know?
But you can't walk out like this.
We do the foundation.
That's
and now it's up to them to be the rest of
so
it.
So it takes
that's
a village.
Yeah.
And that's why I applaud people like in the limelight, like Tyra Banks, you know, posting a picture of herself, like first thing in the morning, no makeup. It was very exaggerated. But her point, you know, she has this whole thing about
she can't always be beautiful
and feeling good. Yeah, and that to me, there's more people who are recognizable starting to do that, almost like, hey, you know, everybody's not perfect. You know, I think even Cindy Crawford said, I don't wake up looking like Cindy Crawford, you know.
Right.
And
right.
Nancy would speak to that as well about, like, you know, the image versus the reality of being in the public eye.
Exactly.
Sure. No, absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. And I commend Tara and Cindy. I think I've seen a couple of those posts. And I think that is really important that they're doing that now, because it isn't reality to wake up in a full face of makeup. I mean, God help me. Sorry when I wake up. I mean, but no, it's just really important. And that's, I think, part of the education that may be helpful going forward. If celebrities such as these keep doing this kind of thing, it may help to start to change this problem we're having, you know.
Exactly.
Well, I mean,
little by little, one influence at a time, it really makes a difference.
That's exactly
celebrities,
right.
Celebrities, teachers, mothers, friends, mentors,
exactly
it all
right.
helps.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, what happens in the house. It's what influences you on the outside. The outside, I think, is, I mean, like, again, we bring up the kids.
Right.
You know, we teach them right and wrong.
Right.
But there's just so much you can do.
Exactly.
Because they have to step out of the house.
Yeah.
Especially when they go to school, and those are the biggest influentials on them.
Yeah, and there's a whole big movement in the media in Europe, and I hope it trickles to the U.S., where on the covers of magazines and in the advertising, there are disclaimers that say, you know, this photo has been enhanced. In other words, they have to fit the photoshopping. And, you know, they're doing that now. They're required to, I believe, the ad agencies, at least in France, and maybe in a couple of other, countries. This is like research for a book I'm working on, so I've been like really heavy into what's going on from an image, you know, public image or in media standpoint.
Wow,
well,
Nancy,
I mean, Nancy, you should know that everything is photoshopped.
Here.
A lot of,
but I don't think that'll ever happen here. I can't see that happening here.
I don't know.
What do you think, Nancy?
Well, Didn't Ralph Lauren or somebody get in trouble because they photoshopped the girls to look so thin at some point at some stage? I remember that.
Thank you.
Never I remember that happening.
Now, here's something interesting. I wonder if so Ralph Lauren just for the first time used a disabled person for their new modeling campaign. It's not it's not out yet. But it's actually a friend of mine, and he's the first disabled male or disabled person to ever be used for Ralph Lauren, a whole huge campaign. So I wonder if it's becoming, like we mentioned before, I hate to use the word trendy, but the self-awareness, and it's and this time, we want change. Enough people want change. Let's put it out there. You know, and,
the inclusion thing.
I hope so, because it'll help in the future.
Yeah.
Even if it's not right now, if it's not immediate.
Yeah. You know, the thing about trends is they tend to be exploitive, which I'm always against, but it gets the message across. So I can't be against that, because eventually people have, they're forced to look at something, and if you're forced to look at something, you kind of have to form an opinion about it, and then there's acceptance. So as much as I don't like trends and I don't like exploiting things, it does get the message across.
Well, that's the biggest thing now. What's trending?
But that's what I'm saying.
And everybody uses that as their everyday conversation, especially on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Every talk show talks about what's trending.
Right.
What's trending? No. So meaning what's trendy? Is that
what's trending in the day? Let's say it's, you know, Trump doing this decision, or it's this one saying that, or it's what's trending of the day. If you go on Facebook, you'll see the side of your panel, it's what's trending if you're on a PC or something.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right.
But see, that's the thing. I'm never a fan of that. But that puts it on the table.
Think it really helps anything, because all it does is make people talk about it, like us ourselves.
It does.
Right.
You know what? In a way, it could go in another direction, too. But the thing is, it can be harmful, but then it gets the open dialogue going.
It does.
That's as much as you might be repulsed by a philosophy. You could walk away from it and then maybe rethink about it at some other point.
Right.
Sure.
But the thing is, it's there and it's not. See, the thing is, we tend to be afraid and we reject things that we're afraid of, things that are different to us.
Fear.
We have fear
in us.
So the minute we make things something that's more commonplace, we have a better chance of being progressive.
Being open
with
it.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just Googled, there was a HuffPost UK article about plus size and disabled models transforming the way we see beauty, and there's actually an agency called Headline Models.
Really?
That works as an ambassador for models of diversity. So they're showing models with Down syndrome or spinal stenosis, or a guy with who's missing has an artificial mechanical leg. So it is trending, and I think one of the models stated, through modeling I can change society's view of people with disabilities. So it's that double-edged sword, you know.
Yeah.
It is. You know what? And I'm almost thinking, I'm on the fence. I have a brother who's Down syndrome. But, I am wavering on this topic because I'm feeling almost, are we exploiting them?
Yeah.
See, part of me
I feel that way,
great.
Too, yeah.
Part of me is like, oh, that's great, but then is that exploiting them?
Are we making fun of them? Are we, like, putting them down?
No, I'm not sure about it. It's not resonating
with
me
quite.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that.
You know, I understand it.
I'm on the other side. My friend that is actually going to be, for him, you know what it was? He started out a dancer who had gotten in an accident and became paralyzed. And then his career stopped, like standstill for 5 years.
Right.
Five years later, this is the best thing that has happened to him in the industry that he used to be a part of.
All right, now that makes sense to me. Yeah.
You said he had an injury? Is that what happened, Winter?
He did. So, and it's okay, I'm not saying his name, and soon enough you'll see him I'm a billboard for Ralph Lauren, but so he was a really popular dancer, musical person, and fitness person in Manhattan. He was in a luxury building, and he fell 12 floors in an elevator.
No.
Oh, my Lord.
He became paralyzed. So his entire, what he knew, was destroyed. He didn't know how to make a living. He became homeless. The whole thing. So his life has gotten a little bit better, but his career as he knows it is over. And he was spotted by somebody through Ralph Lauren, and he was chosen for this. So for him, and
that's
coming from
chance.
His mouth, he said to
me,
I think that's fantastic.
That's a whole other side of the story. I think that's fantastic.
It is, and you know what? It's a different circumstance. And I guess it just depends on, is it tastefully done? Why is it being done? And you know what I mean? Because I certainly understand wanting to protect and not exploit.
Yes.
But I do know that it's nice to show our ideals as being a different form than what we have been taught as being perfection.
Yeah, something different.
Right.
And acceptance. And this is okay. So just because you're this doesn't mean that you mean nothing and that you're never going to be whatever.
Right.
You know, you can go two ways with it.
Yes, absolutely.
It's funny. During Christmas, I deal with the Rockettes, and I deal with, you know, everybody in Radio City for the Christmas show. And I've been doing this for like 20 years. And some of the people that I see are the little people that play the elves. And I remember when they would come in, I'd have to lower my table or have like a ramp. I mean, just see all these things to accommodate them. And I remember I got close with one of them, and I asked him, do you feel that you're being exploited in any way? And he says, I'm making $1,200 a week. 4 hours
what?
Of work. I'm not exploited. And that's it.
Well,
he's working. He gets great benefits. I mean, while he's on contract for the 2 months of the show, that's what he's making, and, you know, he's an adult, and is he exploited? Possibly, but he's making $1,200 a week for a few hours of work and full benefits.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know,
he's getting paid. How is he being treated, and what type of show is it? You know, all those things matter. And Radio City is certainly Radio City. So it's a very good point, and it has its different ways of being looked at. I guess as long as the individual is happy.
That's
and
exactly
feels
right.
Good.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, I think. Exactly right.
Of course.
And actually, when you think about it, you know, he is using his physicality for a talent.
Yeah, sure.
Show.
For
so,
money.
Yeah, and so that's, you know,
that's
great, and that works for him. Yeah,
no,
exactly.
It's his choice.
Yeah, on his own terms, right?
Yeah,
right.
On his own terms. Well, there's this very famous actor, and I won't know his name, but he's in, I think, all the show, The Game of Thrones or something.
Oh,
he's
love him. Peter something. Peter, I got his last name.
No.
Oh, he's very handsome for a little guy.
I know.
He's an undersized person.
Yeah, he's a small person, but he's been doing this for years. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah, I mean, he's wonderful, and everybody loves him. And
yeah.
You know what? And nobody even, I think everybody overlooks that by now. We don't even know that he's, you know, a little person anymore because he's got such a big role in the show.
He's just known as who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
But see, I have
Tyrion.
A very big problem. Anytime I've gone to Coney Island, I won't go to the sideshow. I won't because see that
different
I think venue. Exploiting people. I just
yeah, but
can't.
Yeah. But they're
I
putting themselves out there
know,
like that. That's their show.
I agree, but it just seems like we're gawking. It seems like we're exploiting.
I know.
Paying for that.
Right, but
that's the side. That's like the sideshow mentality.
Right.
I mean, that's
exactly.
been going on for for centuries.
Yes.
See, I can't do that.
It panders to the worst in human nature, for sure.
And I'm thinking it's probably union. I'm thinking they're probably paid, but it just seems like you're just sitting there.
Circus life.
And
it
you're bringing
seedy.
Your kids laugh. I can't do that.
No.
I just can't.
No, I wouldn't be able to do it either. And I've never been to Coney Island, but I would never go to that sideshow either.
And there's always a line, and, you know, that's what brings people in. the Carney folk. But I just that's not
it's
for me.
Part of the whole
I
experience.
Think that's, just,
that's what they do. I mean, it's up to you to pay for that, you know.
See, but
that show.
That's where I'm saying
it, you don't have to.
That's, I think, where we get into that more of exploiting.
Not really, because that's what they're doing for a living.
They're using their
limitations to make
money.
Right.
But see, are we just designing it for them?
I think
it's
us that is stupid to pay for that.
No, but I'm just saying, are we designing it so that they can't go further? I mean,
no. I think they're smart enough to say, you know what, I'm a small person, I'm going to be in a carny, and people are going to say, wow, look at that small
okay.
And they're going to pay me to say that.
I'm going to go one further. Why don't we make jobs a little bit more accepting to people of all their varying challenges
because,
in life, so they don't have to do that?
Because then we deal with, I guess, you know, what the company looks like. It has to have a certain amount of...
That's what I don't like.
Hey, again, it has to do with when you fill a job quota. There's a lot of that going on also. Is that fair?
No.
Is that fair? I don't think that's fair.
No, it's not fair.
But they have to go through that too.
Yeah, but I don't.
So it's all the same. It's really all the same. I mean, because there's not enough blacks working or not enough whites or not enough Latinos.
Well, you know what we got to do? We got to press the reset and rewind. That's what we really got to do.
But you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen all over again, because there's always going to be a big mouth and saying there's somebody racist in this company that's not hiring my kind of people.
But you
there's
have
always
to
a big mouth.
You have to understand that if we don't rewrite historical wrongs, this is where we always end up.
And I think, like we just discussed before, that the newer generation before is going to be okay with that, because they're not even going to look behind that.
That's
right. You know, it's not even, you know,
that.
So hopefully maybe they'll drop all that.
Yeah.
Right.
I do agree. I do agree with you. So now, in getting back to that, and this is exactly what we did the last time, Nancy. We went off on an opiate thing. We went here, we went there, we went roundabout. How do we make it better for our daughters growing up?
Well, who wants to jump in first?
Whoever wants to jump in
Laura,
first.
You're talking first, Nancy. Go ahead,
Nancy.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to go back to again, how I was raised, and sorry for repeating, but it's just all about re-educating people, kids. My son's 29, and I don't know what I would do trying to raise a kid in this day and age. I just think it's just so difficult. Do I know... The answer to this big question, no, but I'm just going to just go back to education and values and family values and all of that, and thinking about your children's self-worth and what they can do from the inside and not from the outside,
mm-hmm.
You know? It's super important. I have kids writing to me on Instagram all the time, and they're like, Nancy, I want to model and this and this. And I say, no, go to college.
That's true.
I tell them the market is flooded. There's no more modeling. There'll never be modeling like back in
the
day. And I said, please go to college. And this one girl, she had a 4.0 GPA, brilliant girl. She was pretty, but it's never going to work. And I said, no, you have this GPA. I said, use it, get a scholarship, go to school. No, I'm coming to New York City. I'm going to try it. I said, oh, God, help me. All right.
And you don't have somebody's dream either. That's the dream. Everybody's got a dream.
That's the balance. I think that you should encourage our adolescents and the new generation coming forward to focus on their dreams and to they have talents. However, to her point, and I did not see this example, but I saw it later in life with my mother, and I admire her so much for that, for the change. Know how to take care of your finances.
Mm-hmm.
Know how to, if you are married and you suddenly find yourself unhappy, how are you going to make a living?
Right.
Who are you? Know that there are options, because you are educated enough or you have had the work experience before. Maybe it's not the college degree, although it certainly helps, but you know how to stand on your own two feet. You are worthy. You are capable. not to depend. Yeah. I guess teach these people to, these children, to be independent, self-sufficient, and happy individuals. And then that, and do our best to lead that example. That'll speak volumes, and it will help them. Speak volumes, meaning if we teach that, if we lead by example, and then giving them the tools so that we always want the generations to be better than us, right? To just do a little better because we care. Mm-hmm. Just like the women, Susan B. Anthony and her partner, just like they paved the way, they made change. They weren't around, but they started it. They did so much.
Right.
And we always want it to be better.
Yeah.
And I think we're, in a lot of ways, headed in that right direction.
I think so, too.
And it seems a little like for us in where we are right now, and I'm sorry if I'm speaking too much, but in some senses, I love being married because I know have someone that has my back. He is capable of making, or put it this way, I can be a mother, and sometimes I get scared. Well, what if I wanted to be on my own? Could I do this? Mm-hmm. So I like having the fallback, but I think I'm in that middle zone where I have some capabilities, but I'm not sure if I could do it on my own sometimes. And I hope that my daughter, I hope I give her the tools to do everything so she can do it on her own. But at the same time, if she wants to be raising her children and sitting back and letting a man help, so be it. I guess there's
I have to jump on that because I'm sorry. I'm going to be talking too much. But because it's so important. Now, I've been married 3 times. I've always had my own job, my own finances. I've never, ever, ever depended on a man. I've raised my son to never depend on anybody but himself. I have been out on my own all the time. I mean, I've always been independent. So to your point, and I understand how you feel, but I am like totally opposite. I mean, I am totally opposite. My sister, on the other hand, very bright woman, college educated. I only had a couple of years of college. She had college education, bright, bright girl. She decided to sit back and have her husband take care of everything fine. And she's older than me, but has done nothing with her life. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And has the knowledge and has the power and did nothing. And I think that's super sad. So sorry to jump
of
in.
Of course. No. I just want to be able to make the choice to stay home. If I have that choice, I'm happy to do it, to be with my children. So for me, I'm grappling, don't get me wrong, the education is there and the life experience for me is there and I'm extremely busy still, but I grapple with the balance. That's all I'm saying. And so
in my journey
and teaching my daughter to be a certain way, I also enjoy being able to spend time with my children and sacrificing to a degree so that I can allow them to have a certain family life. And I guess all I'm saying is where we are right now in society, sometimes I feel really evolved and I feel really independent. And other times I'm like, wow, I'm a mom and I have all this.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
the being a being a mom. That's when you go back.
Well,
that's what happens.
I just feel like it's a flip-flop where we are right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So the balance can be challenging.
Yeah.
It really can.
Having
it all can be challenging. It's trying to balance
it. It's always a challenge. Just living in this day is a challenge.
Well, you know, to Nancy's point, and I'm going to align myself with Nancy, I love making more than my husband so I could rub it in John's face. I love it. I live for it. For all our married
Lori,
life.
That's marriage as a contest, Lori.
That's exactly it. I'm
that's a competitive
every
sport.
Every day I wake up, I'm thanking God I make more than him. And then always throwing in the line, I could buy and sell you is always the cherry on the cake for me.
I know. Well, I'm a little bit like that too, a little competitive. But anyway, it's all good. You know, it's all good. If you know, my sister wanted to stay home and raise the kids, and that's fine, and that's great. I just feel like she had so much. It's everybody's choice, and that's fine. But all my other siblings have worked and raised kids, so it's inconceivable to our
family.
She
was tired of seeing the other 10. She wanted to stay home.
No, I know. So she just decided to do that. She stayed home and raised her kids, and now Now she's, you know, she calls herself retired. I'm like, okay, well, what did you do in your life? But it's, anyway, it's everybody's opinion, and nobody's right or wrong.
It's what's
how
right
they want
for
to
you.
Do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Exactly. As long as you're a happy person, it's your journey. And as long as you make the most of your journey, you know, it's going to differ for everyone. But I know I'm still on the journey, and I know I just try to – I always am always trying to keep the balance and make the right decisions and pave the right way for my daughter. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But I do feel we're moving in the right direction. And I feel hopeful that will continue to happen.
Oh, I'm sure. How old's your daughter, by the way? Sorry.
My daughter is 6 and my son is 8.
Oh, they're little. Oh,
they're tiny. And they're so cute, Nancy. Oh, they're adorable.
Oh, my God. You have a long way to go, girl.
Yeah.
And
boy, she gives up sometimes. She doesn't know if she wants to be there or not.
No, I mean, I am. I do have a full palette and a career, but it's you know, how much do you do? How much do you sacrifice and not do?
Yeah.
You know, my husband makes a hell of a lot more money, but if he tells me that she goes, if I stayed home the most of the time, like you, if I did all that you did, he's like, I don't think our house would be standing up. He's like, I think we try to dance with each other and figure out, you know, use our strengths and make sure each person has their identity and is doing what they're best at. And, you know, I feel lucky in that sense that I'm with a partner that gets it. We're equals, and we just use each other's strengths and, we go for it.
You contribute differently. That's it, and it's fine.
It's great. Yeah. If you can find that perfect mate, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Or what's perfect for you, because let's be honest, none of us are perfect, but the situation can be right for the other person. You know, somebody who really kind of gets you, you get them, your weaknesses are okay with them, their strengths are like must-haves for you, and you just do it.
Right.
What
about you,
else,
Patty? What say you?
I don't know. I've reinvented myself so many ways.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, when I've always been independent because my it goes back to, you know, the mom days. My mom would try to control with money with power. When I wanted to go away to college, she said to me, well, you live at home and go to UConn and Stanford, we'll pay your way. You go away, we'll have nothing to do with you. And I went, that's blackmail and bribery. And I immediately went out and got a student loan and put my, you know, took care of myself. And even like when I came home, because she really, you know, she was afraid of sex and drugs and rock and roll, which is exactly one of the reasons I wanted to go away. But when I flew back home for Thanksgiving, she immediately gave me a bill for my airfare. So when Christmas came, she'd say to me, well, when are you coming home? And I said, well, I'm not. And she said, why not? And I said, well, I can't afford the airfare. So she never asked me for, you know, airfare again, but it was like a chess game. So for me, to be dependent on somebody was not a place I wanted to go to, because I didn't want to be under anybody else's, you know, authority and to control me. And now I'm less like that, but I was like that for, I spent a lot of my time in that way in relationship, where it's like, nope, I'll do it myself. Nope, I'll do it myself.
But that was
really just because I was trained to be independent, and I'm not unhappy about it. I'm not sorry about it, but it was definitely an extreme lesson, you know, and I've relaxed a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's totally extreme. That's unbelievable.
That's rough. But that's a little rough.
But you know what? It's rough, but it's not rough. I mean, the same thing is with me. Once we came to a certain age, and I think I told you girls this before, one of 11, you came, you graduated college or whatever you were doing, you're out of the house. You cannot move back. You're out. Go.
Yeah.
Find a job. You're done. And it taught us to, like, you better grow up really fast.
Yeah, and be self-independent. No, that's good.
Yeah.
I think it's good to do.
Yeah.
But I think also, I mean, it's all about how you take things. If you feel you have to buy your own plane fare to come home and you can't afford it, that could be a little harsh, but it's about lessons.
It taught me to be independent, and I was
never.
And in fact, my first husband, the one that I tried to get back to my maiden name, I supported us for the first several years while he was trying to get his business together. And then when he got his business together and it was my turn to go freelance, he lorded it over me. So guess what? It just reinforced my wanting to be independent, you know?
Yep, sure. Yep.
So it was obviously it was my karma.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you know, and like I said, I'm not unhappy about it. I think anything to an extreme is not, you know,
not
healthy. But you know, it shapes your experiences shape who you are, and they give you your strengths and they give you your vulnerabilities.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, it's all part of. I mean, I'm 59, so it's all part of my that generation when I was growing up. That's what you did. I mean, I have to say that I probably coddled my son a little bit too much.
God,
you know,
me too.
But he's still, you know, he's still very independent and does what he's going to do. But he was an only child. And I think I told this on one of the radio shows. And he wrote a book, wrote an essay on why it's not good to be an only child.
And my daughter only wanted to be an only child. She didn't want no brothers or sisters. She says, I don't want no siblings.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
She wants to
talk
to herself. That's why.
She doesn't want it. She didn't want anybody else to have her attention.
Oh, that's so funny. That is
you
so
know, it's different
funny.
With boys and girls, I
think. It really
that's
is.
A difference too. That's
it
another
really
show,
is.
Nancy.
That's another show.
No, I think so.
Now before we leave, I know Patty had she had something that she wanted to read.
Here we go again. Poem time.
I love this, Patty.
I love poem time.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, this kind of touches on one of the points that we mentioned earlier in the show before you came on board, Nancy. It had to do with how in today's society there's still equal pay is an issue, and also sexual harassment is not going away quickly, that in the news, besides Bill Cosby, there's Uber, there's Fox, there's all kinds of corporate stuff, and women are hesitant to come forward often, but now there's kind of this, she came forward, now I can speak up, and I think that's healthy. So this is a poem that was created with the sexual harassment element at its foundation. It's called Secrets Way. Secrets exist hidden within sly smiles, a pact sealed with a kiss. But there are terrible secrets hanging in the air, secrets that weigh, dark moments not brought to the light of day. Gulped down and putrefied, a swallowed secret makes the victim gag, the burden of silence worn like a mighty yoke, hurting the heart that bears it, extinguishing a fragment of soul. But make no mistake, women talk in hushed and huddled whispers, and one day the complicit solidarity wrenches the chest open once more. And this is what lessens the load of a secret that weighs.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh, unbelievable. That's lovely.
Thank you.
Nice job.
And so true. And that's the thing. It's like we have to. I mean, you know what? I always say that every whisper, a collective whisper, inspires a yell. And you know, we need to elevate our voices when things are wrong. And you know, we have the power to do so, and we don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right. Get rid of the victim mentality.
That's
there's
exactly
strength.
Right.
There's
yeah.
strength in expression and sharing, and that's what I think women. We need each other in that regard, especially.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm sorry I missed the first part of it, but I'll listen to it because I really wanted to join in on that. But anyway, business held. So,
Yeah, this is just really important stuff. Now, before all of you leave, and thank you again, Nancy, is there anything you want to mention about your product? I mean, this is your time before.
You always – okay, that's so sweet. Thank you. So my product is Belcor.com. It's called the Belcor Body Buffer. It helps with sore muscles, muscle recovery, lymphatic drainage, exfoliation, cellulite control. We're still direct to consumer. Prior to that, we were at Neiman's, Harrods, Bloomingdale's, Bergdorf, and we're still at a lot of high-end spas, and athletes use it. spas use it. Everybody, anybody with any kind of circulation problems use it as well. So I invented it with four docs from Boston, and it's called the Bell Corp. Thank you so much.
I brought it to the attention of my boot camp HIIT
gym owner. Thank you, Patty. That's right. Thank you, Patty.
Of course. I printed out your web pages and brought it in.
No, and I just got off with our partner investor, and we hope to have product by September. So here we go.
Beautiful.
I know.
Beautiful.
But thank you.
Patty, what do you have going on this weekend?
Oh, I have a couple things going on this weekend. The biggest thing is my monthly spoken word poetry series, Speakeasy. Is taking place on Sunday again. I'm really gratified. It was just written about in the American Republican paper up here, and they interviewed some of the some of my feature readers as well. It was really nice, and so I have a feature reader as well as open mic, same as usual. And then next month, there'll be more information on it soon, but in September, Speakeasy is going to be part of the International Beat Poetry Festival's weekend-long hoo-ha.
Very nice.
And they're bringing a poet in from Greece and from some other, from other parts of the country, and they're going to be at different venues around the region, but Speakeasy is going to be one of them. So I'm really looking forward to, being a part of that festivity.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
What do you have going on? Classes? What are you doing?
No, I mean, my stuff is a little different. I just finished choreographing for a musical theater camp.
Beautiful.
This weekend. I'm entertaining for a corporate event for children. So I'm not in my own business yet. I work under agencies, but, there's always really fun things going on. I did walk away from this realizing, I think I answered my own question. I love that I have the choice to, if I didn't want to stay at home, I could support myself and move on.
Yeah.
But because I choose to stay at home, that's what I hope to pass on to my daughter. And that's what I think we are lucky that in this day and age, we have the choice. Whereas I know that we didn't before. And I hope that our choices continue to get even in a broader spectrum where it's a little bit more even. So if I really walked away kind of answering a question in my struggle. And I think you all helped me with that. So
beautiful.
Oh,
nice.
Yes,
great.
Really good about that.
That's what we're here for. That's what it's about, isn't it? And thank you, our guests,
been great.
Nancy Donahue, Patricia Martin, Winter Gabriel, once again.
Thank you. Love
always
this roundtable.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank
Thanks,
you, all.
Ladies.
And we'll be back next month.
Day.
Thank you, darlings.
Thank you
you
again.
Care.
Have a great
Bye.
Day.
Have a great day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And another show under the belt, huh? Yeah. And you know something, Elite Ziegelman. We're going to take photos afterwards, but let's talk about summer reading.
Okay.
Let's talk about nice, light, listen to me. Light poetry, glass of wine on the beach. What are you thinking about the two books that we just got? Guest on our show 3 weeks ago, month ago.
It was Lauren.
Lauren.
Right.
Side Effects,
right.
A book of lovely poetry. Not poetry that's easy. Not Robert Frost poetry. More thought, a little bit darker, more, I think, thought-evoking. I think that's what I would say. But it's a wonderful book. And you should pick it up, and it's on Amazon. And stop making those faces. I got a few more minutes. Stop making those faces. You try this, Elite. You try this. You would not be able to do it for 1 second, my friend.
Okay.
But on that note, we'd like to thank you for joining our show once again. Of course, Nancy Donahue, Winter Gabriel, Patricia Martin, thank you so much for making a wonderful dialogue.
They complete
that goes
the show.
In several different directions, but we always manage to tie it up. Thank you for everybody at home for making it a wonderful show, and we will see you back here next week. Take us home, Nina.
You got it.